cannabis topics in less than 10 minutes. Let's go.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of The Dime. I'm Brian Fields, and with me, as always, is Kellen Finney. And this week, we've got a very special guest, Jason Wild, chairman of Terrasen. Jason, thanks for taking the time. How are you doing today?
Good.
I love it. So let's stay with Terrasen. Can you kind of give us like an overview about the company and kind of value it brings to the space?
Sure. So the company, I originally invested in the company back in the end of 2017. They were actually a Canadian LP. We led a $52 million investment, private placement into the company. Canopy Growth co-invested in that deal with me. And I became the chairman. This was back at the end of 17. At that point, on the fund side, we were only comfortable investing in Canada. Our first acquisition was the Apothecarium dispensary chain in San Francisco. That's when essentially Terrasen entered into the U.S. A few months later, we acquired one of the largest operators, cultivators, and manufacturers, and retailer in Pennsylvania called Ilera Healthcare. Also around the same time or a little earlier, we had applied, Terrasen had applied for a license in New Jersey in the summer of 18. And we actually came in number one or number two by score out of 150 applicants. So we got a license for the northern region of New Jersey, which is, believed by many to be the best region of Jersey because it has the most people and the biggest part of the economy. You know, our approach, which has been different than I think most of the other multi-state operators, is that we decided, 3 years ago or so, that we didn't want to just have lots of flags on the map and be able to say that we're in, 25 states or 20 states. Our belief was always that the best way to build the best business is to be focused and only really enter a state if we think that we can be one of the top, two or three players in that state over, some short time period.
I want to stay on Jersey. I saw you say that when there was a pause between the announcement that Terrasen won the license, I want to know what that feeling was like in that pause and then what you felt emotionally after they announced Terrasen. And then expanding on that, what's the next step? Take us inside that room. Is it how do we deploy New Jersey and get everything ready to go? Or are you focused on Maryland, Michigan, and other states for expansion opportunities?
On that call, it was interesting. They had already gone through like the other six operators that they approved. And the process was, I believe that the chairman would state the name of the operator and say, I have a motion to approve. And then somebody would come on. It must have already been chosen who was, which other commissioner would say motion to approve. And then they would vote. And then they got the Terrasen. And we felt really good about, getting approved, even if it was a smaller number than SEP, ended up getting there. And they said the Terrasen. And the chairwoman said, do I have a motion to approve? And nobody said anything. And it felt to me like, it must have been 10 seconds. It felt to me like everything froze. I went through all these emotions. I was like, did my line just die? I wanted somebody to jump in and say something, but then it meant, at some point if they said something, then it meant that it wasn't just my phone that died, which I was almost hoping was what happened. And then the chairwoman repeated it again and somebody came on and said, I make a motion to approve.
It's got to be just overwhelming joy knowing, the types of investments that went into it, the emotional investment. Staying on that, after it's approved, are you looking for other opportunities? Take us through the strategy for you and the role you play there.
So New Jersey, what I was so excited about is that we have been spending, we've spent, about $40 million over the last 3 years or so building out our facility. We didn't know originally that it was going to go, that rec was going to be on the ballot. That was obviously a huge positive for us when that happened a year and a half or so ago. And we had been ready and we thought the program was going to launch, in the second half of last year. So every time it got delayed, even though we, knew sort of intellectually, we knew that it was going to come at some point. It's like, it almost felt like it was, you know, never going to come, or I wasn't going to believe it until it actually happened. So having that vote was just a huge relief. And it ended up being, it was a little bit, you know, I guess better than expected, because we were going to be able to launch within like after that vote, we launched, I think, like 8 days later or something like that.
When the industry becomes global, do you see overseas being a challenge, let's say, for mass production and cultivation?
No, I don't think so. I don't see that happening anytime soon. And I don't think that, you know, like high quality flower, there's no reason to grow that, or there's no cost advantage. Let's just talk about US. You know, people ask about, you know, interstate commerce and all that, right? And that a lot of this stuff's going to come from California. You know, that's because California has, you know, sort of perfect weather conditions and all of that. But there's no advantage to growing super premium indoor flower in a warehouse in California and shipping it, say, to the East Coast. So I, you know, our view for a lot of other reasons that we think, you know, high quality premium flower is the way to go. But our view on interstate commerce is that would be the least impacted by, interstate or, you know, sort of global commerce in the cannabis space.
With your pharmaceutical experience, what can cannabis operators learn from, let's say, the technology for real-time process control to, let's say, ensure a clean product to avoid recalls and other concepts like that in the future?
I think that overall, people from pharma, there's more of a focus on quality and safety. You know, like if somebody comes in from real estate or something like that, I find often those companies have less of a culture of compliance and of quality.
When you started your journey in the cannabis space, what did you get right? But most importantly, what did you get wrong?
What did I get right? I got right that, you know, that there's huge demand for this product, that more and more people were going to be consuming it over time. And, you know, therefore this industry, had the wind at its back from a growth perspective, especially relative to regular pharmaceuticals. What I guess I got wrong was, I mean, we did really well in the, you know, for the first 4 years, we only did Canada. And my view was that was going to be the only place that would be able to attract institutional investors. And therefore, you know, the stocks would do better than the US ones. And that worked really well over that period of time, say from like 14 to 18. I guess I maybe in Canada, we outstayed our welcome a little bit too long. Like once I realized that the Canadian market and the structure of the Canadian market was, you know, not conducive to being able to, you know, have a strongly profitable company, I probably stayed a little bit too long. But, you know, that was probably a mistake that we made.
Let's do a quick rapid fire. Product category you're most bullish on over the next 5 years?
Flower.
Psychedelics as a medicine, yay or nay?
Yeah.
Under the radar state you have your eye on?
Oof, I can't. If I talk about it, then it might not be under the radar anymore. But figure, you know, there's a basket of them. Figure all, you know, the states sort of east from Michigan going east towards New York and then up and down the East Coast. There's a bunch of good opportunities there.
That's fair. What mega policy causes more disruption in the cannabis industry? Federal legalization or interstate commerce?
Ooh, federal legalization.
That one's tough. The biggest misconception since you've been in the cannabinoid industry?
Just overall that, like, you know, I think this is all changing, but that, like, people that are cannabis consumers, that they're, you know, lazy and unmotivated. You know, the people that I know that are in the cannabis industry, and especially the ones that also consume cannabis, I find them to be, you know, some of the hardest working, you know, most, you know, some of the most principled people that I've ever met, and extremely, creative as well.
So Jason, for our listeners, they want to learn more and they want to try some of TerrAscend's products. Where can they find them?
Northern California. We have three dispensaries in San Fran, one in Berkeley and one in Capitola. In PA, we have six scattered around Pennsylvania. And in New Jersey, we have one dispensary in Phillipsburg, which is on the western edge of PA. And actually, we're actually like less than 100 yards from the bridge that goes over to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Nice. So amazing location for a rec or for anybody in, you know, PA that would want to come over. And our other location is in Maplewood. And we're going to be opening our third location in Jersey. Is we share the parking lot with the Bada Bing from The Sopranos. And then in Michigan, we have 17 dispensaries pretty much covering, you know, practically the whole state.
Thank you so much, Jason.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
Hi, y'all. I'm Joe, host of Casually Baked, the podcast. If you're curious to explore the highly responsible side of cannabis, farming, and legalization, I'm here to help lighten the stigma and build your canna confidence. Download episodes now of Casually Baked, the podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. And journey with me through the evolving cannabis culture and discover how and why people like you are adding cannabis to their wellness toolkit. It's time to get casually baked.